You know, I suppose that some of us, at least, in our younger days, didn't appreciate it when Dad said, look, I have to have a little talk with you. I don't know if you had that experience. I had it in my life. And for many of us, that is no longer here anymore. In which, you know, they made, and we have to recognize that, they had done a tremendous lasting investment in us. And if we like it or not, still we miss that little talk with him. And I was thinking the following. Let's assume for a moment that we have 10 minutes of life, only 10 minutes, and in which we have to give an advice to our son or to our daughter or to our children, the kind of counsel that our children will need for the rest of their lives. Of course, I hope this is not going to happen, but let's assume, let's suppose that you are in a bad accident and you are rushed into the hospital and your family is around you and the doctor come in and said to you, well, you have 10 more minutes of life. What would you say to your son? What would you say to your daughter, to your children? Better say something very, very important, because it's the last chance you are going to have. And so in chapter 3, of Proverbs, we discover how one father counseled his son. 21 times in the book of Proverbs, we find my son, my son, my son, 21 times. And rather than hearing a human boy is talking to a boy, let's listen to God's voice today. Because we are Christians, and because we are Christians, we are children of God. We are sons of God. We are daughters of God. So we belong to the family. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, that was read, the father shares with us his counsel. By the way, I'm sorry, I said 3 is 4, 8 is 5. And if we follow his counsel, he is going to bless us. If we follow his counsel, he will keep his promises to us. And we are going to make a success out of our lives. There is no reason why somebody has to make a mess out of life. There is no reason in all the world why we should take what God gave us and wasted it, ruin it, wrecked it. Almighty God gives us some admonitions in this chapter. And I was looking at them, and probably there are more, but I got a few just because of the time. But for example, in verse 1 through 4, the first admonition is learn God's word. in verses 5 through 8 is obey God's will. In verses 9 and 10, use God's wealth wisely. In verses 11 and 12, heed God's warning. In verses 13 through 18, seek God's wisdom. So let's take these admonitions from this chapter individually, and I trust the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts this morning. Let me read the first one, learn God's word, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. What is God's word? God's word, what it is. God's word, according to this text, is his law, is God's law. The universe is run by laws. There is not a computer in the world that would function it were not because God built laws into this universe. The word of God is the law of God. And in this law, he has laid down certain principles. And you know, if we cooperate with these principles, God will cooperate with us. And if we fight against such principles, we are fighting against the very universe God has built. So it seems to me that one of the most important things is exactly this, that we can do, is to learn God's word. You know, God wrote the original Ten Commandments on stones, but when we move to 2 Corinthians 3, we discover Paul declaring that the Holy Spirit of God, taking the word of God, write it in the human heart. And it's right, because what is in the heart is what controls our lives. So the first admonition is learn God's words. What are the consequences of this? Well, there are many, but at least the one that mentioned here prolongs our lives. Many of us know, whether in our relatives or other people that are really wicked and they live long, very long. Our Lord is not talking here about length of days, calendar-wise. There are good people who live very short lives and wicked people that live long, very long lives. But generally speaking, if we learn God's word and obey God's will, he will spare us the many things that shorten our lives. And you know, even Paul says, godliness is profitable both for this world and also for the next one. He's talking about kind of life. not quantity of life, quality of life. What it says is that if we obey God's word, it gets into our minds and we remember it, and then gets into our hearts and control our will. The word of God fills us. And what it says is that our lives will be full and we will accomplish things. So, beloved, do you know more Bible? Do you know more about the Word of God today than we had, let's assume, 3 months ago or 1 year ago? Probably you say, well, I am so busy. If you are so busy, yeah, really, you are very busy. The first essential for a successful living is learn God's word. The second admonition of the Father, appears in verses 5 through 8 and is the following: obey God's will. Let me read it to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Beautifully written. Verse 7 is very clear. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, we must realize how difficult it is to discern the will of God. I had that question mark in my mind so many times. It's so difficult how we discern the will of God. And he said, somebody can say, well, use your mind. No. Do not depend on our mind. Sometimes what appears right, logically speaking, is wrong scripturally. And sometimes what seems to be wrong logically is right spiritually, scripturally. So in chapters 2, 3, 4, we can find a constant word. The word is path. 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 In other words, the believer is on a path. We are on a path. And one day we stepped out of that broad road that led us to destruction and trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we move into that narrow gate and enter into that path that leads to life, to eternal life. Now, while we are on that path, we better do the will of God. For example, in chapter 2, says that God will protect our paths. In chapter 3, he emphasizes on he will direct our paths. He will show us where we are supposed to go. And in chapter 4 is even better, because says the emphasis is in he will perfect your path. You know, the question is this: how all of this happened. God wants all of our hearts, and God wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. That is what we just read. So God says to us, do you want me to direct your path? Do you want to obey my will? And if that is the case, all right. Give me all of your heart and acknowledge me in all of your ways. That is what we just read. In other words, acknowledgement. What is acknowledgement? Acknowledgement means fellowship. It's like God is inviting us, fellowship with me. If there is something in your life where you cannot bring me in, get rid of it. And I will direct your path. You know, the second admonition is obey God's will. The third one that appears in verses 9 and 10 is use God's wealth wisely. Let me read it to you. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. That means use God's wealth wisely. Your house, your automobile, your furniture, your checkbook, whatever you think is yours, use it wisely. God said to Moses, it's God who gives the power to get wealth. And Moses warns us in the book of Deuteronomy when he says, when wealth increases, don't forget God. Don't forget God. What he is saying there is simple this. If we are going to be successful in life, don't leave God out of your checkbook. I am always happy when God blesses one of our members in the church that I pastored. I had some people that really, God blessed them abundantly, and they are given to the ministry and helping so many ministries. But God sometimes chooses not to. Some of the choicest saints in my congregation I have visited so many times have been poor people, very poor people. But God provided enough for them, but have not given them for excesses, for example. Verses 9 says, honor God with the first fruits of your crops. You remember when the Jews took their harvest, the first fruits were taken and given to God. What it is saying is, God owns everything. We better acknowledge that. Do you remember when the farmer who had a big crop appeared in that parable in the Bible? It's a very, very curious parable because he discovered that had a big crop and didn't have enough room for it. So he sat down and reflected and and start saying, well, what I'll do with so much? Well, I'll tear down the barns, I will build new barns, and I fill it with everything, and then I am going to sit down and he said to himself, Saul, you have many goods laid out for many years, so now eat, drink, and be merry. And when we read the complete parable, we discover that God called him fool. You fool. Tonight your soul will be required. And you are going to die. And what? Who is going to get all of this? What a tremendous parable. What a tremendous lesson for us. The main one is this. When he looked at the blessings of life, he was looking at a mirror, and in that mirror he saw himself. Contrary to Solomon says in one of his books, that the blessings of life really must be windows through which we can see God there. When we look at our paycheck, when we look at our house, when we look at our cars, is our first thought God? God gave me this and I am going to use it for his glory. That is our first thought or not? He warns his son against the selfish kind of living. And Jesus put it in a better way. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, beloved, learn God's word is the first admonition. Obey God's will. Use God's wealth and honor him. Some people are wasting wealth. Some people are spending wealth. I think God's people would be investing wealth. The fourth admonition that I find in this chapter, the counsel of the father to a son, is heed God's warning. Verses 11 and 12. Let me read it to you. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. You know, beloved, chastening is not equal to punishing. Sometimes we are confused with that, but father chasten a son because he loves him. It's different. A judge punishes a criminal because he upholds the law. But my father in heaven looks down to me or to any of us, and sometimes we need to be purified. Sometimes there is sin in our lives, and God has to deal with it. And sometimes God chooses to perfect us. This word chastening in the Old Testament means child training. And sometimes he chastens us to prepare us. And he knows what is coming. We don't. And he says, it's better to prepare you for what is ahead. But we resent and we say, but Lord, why this is happening to me? And I remember when I was dying of cirrhosis 25 years ago, I was talking with God and telling him why this is happening to me. And God says, you don't know now, but someday you will know it. There are parents that would allow their children to run everything. And it's so unfortunate. The parents are supposed to discipline. And the text is very clear. God disciplined us because he loves us. Because when power is disciplined, there is construction. But when power is not disciplined, there is destruction. And God, please help that child whose parents don't love enough to discipline him. And I should say something more. Help that person who happens to marry that child who wasn't disciplined in life. So, heed God's warning. The next one, and the final one, is found in verses 13 through 18. Seek God's wisdom. Let me read it. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. What a beautifully writing to describe the wisdom. You know, learn God's word. That is the beginning of everything, of course. Obey God's will. When we obey God's will, we are in a place where God can direct us, God can perfect us, God can protect us. The next one is invest in God's wealth. Be a good steward of what God gave to you. Give God the first place in your checkbook. And the last one is seek God's wisdom. We live in a world that has a lot of knowledge and a little bit of wisdom. The Word of God never criticizes knowledge at all. It criticizes ignorance or criticizes stupidity, but not knowledge. The Bible never criticizes that as long as we got wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Knowledge is beautiful. You know, we have a college in Lindsay, and it's online. And a couple of years ago, a gentleman from Australia graduated when he was 81 years old. And came from Australia to be in the graduation. Knowledge is good. But wisdom is the right use of knowledge. All of us know people that believe they are so smart, they know everything, a lot of things. They got a degree and many degrees, but can't tie their own shoes and can do other things. They are living in another world. You know, knowledge has to do with facts, but wisdom has to do with truths. Knowledge has to do with what happened. Wisdom has to do with why it happened. Knowledge takes things apart. Wisdom put things together again. Knowledge help you to make a living, but wisdom help you to make a life. There is a tremendous difference. Knowledge knows all of the prices in life, but wisdom knows the value of everything. Knowledge is put you in touch with this world, but wisdom put you in touch with the next world, eternal life. The greatest need for this hour is the wisdom of God. And how do we get this wisdom? Well, we heed God's warning. How do we get this wisdom? Well, we study God's word. And his word is the word of wisdom. And the result of this wisdom is not an easy life, for sure. A pleasant life it is. The result of this wisdom is a peaceful life. There are problems, there are storms, there are difficulties, burdens, but the person who lives by wisdom is lifted up above the toys and games and the play pens of this world. It's a mountaintop person, I should say. He has perspective in life, he has strength, he has wisdom, the wisdom of God. We need this today, desperately. In the Bible, Jesus Christ is God's wisdom. In him are hidden all the treasures of God's wisdom. And when we receive him, when we accept him, when we have him in our heart, not only he forgives our sin, not only he promises an eternal life, not only he provides us with abundant life here, but he gives to us his wisdom. This is why the humble and educated saint can be wiser than a college professor. You know, no smarter probably, but wiser. You know, I hate to bring a personal experience, but I am going to do it. My mother was a lady that immigrated in South America and Argentina from Europe. She practically didn't know how to read. And when she knew the gospel, she started reading the Bible and learned to read with the Bible. And she was an avid reader of the Bible. And even though she was uneducated, but she got a lot of wisdom, tremendous wisdom. I am missing her so much. From where she got the wisdom? From God, from the Bible. It's a beautiful thing when we can blend skills with wisdom. That is great. Seek God's wisdom. And It begins with Jesus Christ. So here it is a wise father talking to his son and saying something like, "Son, you are going to have to make it. You have a life ahead of you. You are going to make it if you start with Jesus Christ. If you learn God's word, if you obey God's will, if you invest God's wealth wisely, if you heed God's warning, if you seek God's wisdom." And when you put this together, you have God's blessing. Let me read this passage that says, "And the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more and more unto the perfect day." Amen. So beautiful. An easy life? No. But a pleasant life. A burden-free life? No. But a peaceful life. A life of material wealth? Not necessarily, but an abundant life. A beautiful life, a life that someday will step out from earth to glory. God bless you, brothers and sisters. And I hope that the counsel of this father could be applicable to our souls. And for the fathers that are here, I wish you a beautiful Father's Day. Now, let's bow our heads and we are going to pray. Thank you, Father. It rejoices our heart that we are your children. We don't deserve it for sure, but we are your children. And by trusting in our Savior and being born again, we have no merit to offer you. But you are saving us. And Lord, help us heed your admonitions. Help us not to be careless with our lives. Help us to make a difference in this world, a difference in this community, a difference in our family, in our homes. Dear Father, take the young people of this church, the adults, everybody here, and direct their paths, their lives. And may they place their lives wholly in your hands. Help us, Lord. We love you so much. Give us a Sabbath, especially meditating about what we just heard from your word. Because we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.